Thank you for allowing me to take a vacation. It was wonderful. It gets harder to come back every time. It was wonderful to be away. Thank you to Madison, who's not here today. And thank you to Mark Gaskin, who's also not here today, who helped preach during the summer. And then to Jimmy, who bore most of the brunt and took 4 weeks of teaching. Thank you, Jim. Much appreciated, my brother. What a blessing to have a man who says, you need to go rest, I'll help you. And I said, but at 6 weeks, he says, I'll take four, that's fine, just like that. That's a blessing to have that, and I really, really appreciate that. Enjoyed it, I watched you, just checked you out, so made sure that things were going okay. And I did take 2 of the weeks were study leave, and I promise you I did work. At MBC, last week, actually, I wrote 2 sermons. So I'm done until the first Sunday of November. So I think we're okay. We'll get there. I have 2 nice series coming up for you. After this one that I'm doing, I'm going to do a series called How to Unburden Your Life for a few weeks. And then we're going to, as we go into Advent, the November series, we're going to take a little time and run through a few of the old hymns. And we're going to do the hymn, and we're going to talk about around the hymns, like Amazing Grace. We're going to talk about what a friend we have in Jesus, things like that. We're going to just have a little bit of fun with that. So there's some fun stuff coming up. Today, starting a series called Live It Out, talking about God's purpose, or maybe I should say that in the plural, purposes for our life. Now, I'm sorry, I'm going to use a cuss word in a moment. Forgive me. I don't know how many of you have been to Lake Louise in the winter, sorry. There's the cuss word. Winter. And we don't want to talk about this time of the year. And I've seen those amazing, beautiful ice sculptures that they make there. It's stunning. Just what these people do. The one year I remember we were there and they built this huge ice castle on the lake that you could walk through. And now you're wondering, why does it start with winter and with ice castles? Here's the thing. As I was reading our scripture passage, it reminded me a little bit about this. Because the sad thing about those ice sculptures is this. They're beautiful, stunning, till the sun comes out. And the rain comes, and then they just melt away, and they're gone. And as I was reading through what we're going to do today, it got me thinking, are there things in my life where I'm investing of myself, of my time, of my gifts that God has given me, that I'm investing into things that are ultimately just going to melt and disappear? Because just think, we only have one life to live, right? And the question is, am I investing the things that God has given me and that God expects of me into things that will last, or in things that are here today and gone tomorrow? Because that's the question Paul is going to ask of us in Philippians 3 when we get there in a second. Where do you find your security? Where do you find that which invests in your life? And when he asks the questions, it comes with a warning, because here's the thing. If I find my value, my worth in things like my accolades and in the things that I have done and the clothes that I wear and the guy that I date or the girl that I date or the work that I do, the warning is this. They're ice sculptures. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. Because there's always going to be someone who's going to be better than you. There's always going to be someone that has more than you. There's always going to be someone that's done more than you. And you're going to go and go. And those old sculptures, they come and then they go and then they go. And there's no joy. And you're thinking, what am I doing with this one life that God has given me? So against this background, Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 11, but I'm going to break them down. And I know my daughter usually gives me the gears when I get home and says, Dad, why do you do that? I don't like it, but I'm going to do that today. I'll take it when I get home. Philippians 3, verse 1 from the New Living Translation. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Find your joy in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things. Actually, in the NIV, it says to tell these things to you over and over. And here's the reason. I do it to safeguard your faith. I do it for your own good. Can we just stop there for one second? It kind of sounds strange when Paul says, my dear brothers and sisters, I want you to find your joy in Christ. But I need to talk to you about things over and over and over. And it's okay, I do that because it's for your good. Because here's what happened. So Paul, you know that he was called to go bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And this is what Paul did. Went all over Europe doing this. So he would come into a city and Paul would speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now remember, this is not now. This is way back, just after Christ had died. It wasn't that everyone loved Christ, knew about Christ. There were gazillions of churches. We were all serving Jesus. No, no, no. Gentiles who served pagan gods, who knew nothing about Jesus Christ. And Paul is standing there and saying, you guys are investing your lives in junk. It's never going to work. Let me tell you about the real life. And he tells them about Jesus. Tells them about Jesus that died on the cross. And when I was writing this, I thought, why do I say this to our church? We all know the story, and I'm thinking maybe that's the problem. We know the story so well that we forget how amazing it is that Jesus came into this world. That's what Paul said to them. And Jesus says, I'm going to take all the sin, all the brokenness, all the stuff that's taking you away from God, and I will take that on me, and I'm going to die for you, not because of the stuff you did, because you can do as much as you want. It's going to be like that ice sculpture. It's going to melt because of this wonderful word called God's grace, which is free, which is a gift. And if you will just open your hearts and allow him to come in and work in your life, is he going to do amazing things? And we hear that and it's, yeah, I know that. Maybe it's a moment for us to say, I know that. Do I live that? How do I live that every day? Am I allowing God to find his purpose for my life and live that purpose into this world? That where I go, that what I do, that what I don't do, people will not see me, but they will see Jesus. That which lasts. That when the sun of the world comes out, it will not melt. That when the rain of the world comes, it will not wash away, but it will stand because it's not me. It is Jesus and Jesus in me. And those people, they just drank this in, and so many of them came to know Jesus Christ, started little churches, got leaders for them. Paul would move on. But then there was this thing that happened, that happens in our world. They are called, and there's a slide for this, they are called the Judaizers. The Judaizers were Jews who heard the gospel, and then, and you see, that's why I've got a wolf there, and he's got a little sheep's clothing on him, because that's what they were. They were Jews who knew the Old Testament and all the rules and regulations, and they would come and say, oh, all this stuff about Jesus is good, and it's great, and it's fine, but just having faith and believing is not good enough. You need Jesus plus your good works. You need Jesus plus all the rules and regulations. You need Jesus plus, and they put 623 of those down that you needed to do. Yeah, I saw the big eyes going, what's 623? I actually wanted to bring a ladder this morning and put the ladder here and say, you try that one. You try and climb that ladder and get up there with all 623. It's never going to work. But they said, no, 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 no. You can't do this. You can't eat that kind of food. No, 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 you can't walk that far on a Sabbath. And you guys, boy, this put a damper on the men's ministry. All of you have to be circumcised as well. I'll get back to that one in a second, gentlemen. We'll have a moment afterwards. I brought my knife. I'll get back to that in a second. So they're putting all of these rules, these things on these people, saying, no, 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 it's not good enough to accept Jesus, to live the faith that Jesus has given in your life, and to follow him, hold his hand. No, you have to earn. You have to do. There they are. And it just stunned these people. And they were like, Paul, but that's not what you said. What is all of this? So that's why we're going to read that in a second. Paul gets really, really angry at these Judaizers. Verse 2. Watch out, says Paul, for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. No, 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 no. We who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised, because we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort or in rules and rights and regulations. Boy, does he get stuck into them. Now remember, in those days, dogs were not pets. Dogs were scoundrels that walked around in the streets eating the garbage and biting people and running in packs and causing havoc. Calling someone a dog in those days, even today it's not a fun thing, but it was even worse. It was quite the insult. So he says, don't even talk to them. Like the dogs in the street that you would just turn your back and get away, that's what you need to do with them. Turn away, because they are misleading you. I'm going to get back to that a little bit. They're taking you into the garbage. And this thing that they're saying to you, that you need to be circumcised again, that's a boatload of baloney. Can I just explain that so that you can understand why he's saying this and what's going on? Remember, Old Testament, Old Covenant, God came to a man called Abraham. And God said to Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you, between me and you, and this is an everlasting covenant. All the little boys of 8 days need to be circumcised as a sign of the covenant. Let me explain that. Today, because Jesus died for us, when you and I have sinned or messed up, what do we do? Someone help me. What do? Repent. How do you do that? You pray. There we go. When we have sinned, I repent and I go back and I say, Lord, please forgive me. Why? Because of what Paul taught us. Because Jesus died for the sins of today, tomorrow, whenever he died, washed them away. In the Old Testament, what did you do when you sinned? You had to bring a sacrifice. Specific sacrifice was an animal, the best that you had. What they did with that, they cut up the whole animal, they burnt the whole one. The others, the priests got a piece of that so that they could live off that. The sin offering, the whole animal was burnt. They caught the blood in a little bowl, hyssop, a little piece of hyssop, and they would dip that in the blood, and they would sprinkle the blood around the altar while that animal was burning, because the blood was the symbol of being made right with God again. Taking that moment, saying, the animal is taking my place and the blood reconciles me with God. The symbol of circumcision was the symbol of a sacrifice. When that little boy was circumcised, something that was important in his life was sacrificed. And the blood that ran was the symbol of being reconciled with God. And you're saying, why just the little boys? Because in the old covenant, the men became the covenant head of their family. So their children, wives, all would be incorporated in their covenant. When Jesus came, he became, writes that in the word, the covenant head of all of his children. And the sign changed. Because Hebrews says, when Jesus died, there is no more sacrifice that you and I can bring for our sins ever, because he brought the last and final sacrifice. So Jesus said, to show that you are part of my covenant, that I am the covenant head, now you go baptize them all. Men, women, children, all of them. Baptize them. Like that blood that flowed, that brings reconciliation, my blood flowed. And the water is that symbol of you being washed clean. Boy, in the New Testament, they did it beautifully. The people would come with their old clothes, go in the river, be baptized. When they came out on the other side, they gave them a white gown that they would put on over that, symbolizing, you've been washed. So let me go back. You get why he's so angry at them. Because they're saying, go back to all that stuff. You need to do that. Then you are okay. No! You died in Christ. You were washed. You are made brand new. You don't need the rules, the regulations, the rights. All you need to know is Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, and he has died for you. And then allow him to change you step by step, word by word, action by action, little by little. The only thing that we rely on, he says, is on Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Because, my friends, let's put those ladders up and see how far we get. You can hit all 623 and you're never going to make it, because they're ice sculptures. There's one only. That's why Paul goes on. And I love him. He's such a cool guy. You just get him at first. He writes a little difficult, but when you get him, he says, verse 4, you know, I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. He says, I'm going to boast a little bit. Let me tell you. Indeed, if others have reasons for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. And then he names them. He says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, exactly as it was told. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. I'm a member of the tribe of Benjamin, the most important tribe, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees, those who demanded the strictest obedience. They are the guys who made the 623. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, making myself right with God, I obeyed the law without fault. Paul says, if there was a crazy man who could say, I can boast because I did it all, it was me. That was my identity. That's who I thought I should be, what I should do. And then Paul says, and then I met Christ and things changed. And before I read what he says next, can I just say this? I'm so glad I met Christ. Because I grew up in a tradition where we had these little check marks, kind of like the 623. I had to go to the morning service. I had to go to the catechism service in the evening. You had to be there on Wednesday for the prayer meeting. You had to be there on Thursday for the Bible study. And you tick them off. And as long as you do that, you're okay. If you don't do them, you're waiting for God to get at you somewhere. And it was so hard. It was so difficult because there was no joy in that. And then I met Jesus. And the joy just changed. Because I wanted to be there. I wanted to come worship with you guys this morning and sing holy, holy, holy with all the joy in my heart. Peter Gowdy said, if that didn't lift your arms, I don't know what would. Because that's what it is, right? When we sang that, it wasn't, I have to do this. It was, I want to do this. Because he is holy. I want to take this old little Aubrey crown and throw it down there and bow before him. I want to say, Lord, I just mess it up, but thank you for your holiness that picks me up and changes me and gives me a new life. Please don't let anyone get you into that old ice sculpture world of building your life on things that are here today and gone tomorrow. We build on Jesus, says Paul. And Jesus only. All this stuff that I can name like this, listen what Paul says about that. He does I think it was an accountant maybe, because he does this profit loss thing. He says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ had done. He said, man, that was my thing. I could hang it up and I could walk and say, look at me. And now I call it worthless. Verse 8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I'll get to that. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. For I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends, can I put my own words in there? Not on my deeds, not on my works, not on my accolades, depends on faith. He says, all those things, I could write them. And if I put them in a profit loss column, they would be in the loss column. I call them, and there's a slide for this, Grace. I call them garbage. The Greek word for garbage that he uses, only once in the whole New Testament do we read this word. It's the word skubala. Don't try and read it, but there it is, skubala. Do you know what skubala really is? It's a really kind translation to call it garbage. If you stepped in some skubala, you'd throw your shoes away. That's actually the exact translation for the word skubala. He says, I could look at this. When I look at this, I can call that garbage. All of that stuff. There's only one thing that I want to do. I want to know Christ Jesus and gain Jesus in my life. And you remember, I've said that word over and over and over. The word know that Paul uses always when he says, I want to know Christ, is not the head knowledge word. It is the relationship knowledge word. Old Testament, forgive me, going to be a little rude, but just going to use it. Old Testament uses that word too when it says, and Adam, way old King James translation, and Adam knew his wife. And she became pregnant and bore him a child. That's the word know. It's an intimate knowledge, a relational knowledge. It's not the, I know the Bible, I know the catechisms, I know the songs. I know Jesus. Like I know my blondie that I've been married to for 42 years in my life. I know what she likes and what she doesn't like. I know when she's happy and I know when she's sad. I know how she smiles when I bring a little flower home. I know how she snores and wakes me up at night because I sleep next to her. Sorry, Elsie, I didn't mean that. Just a joke. But you know what I'm saying. That's what Paul says about Jesus. Do you know that? Knowing Jesus is not this distant God. Bette Midler saying, God watches from a distance. Nah, God lives in me, with me, and I know him intimately. I know his voice. I know his touch. I know his care. He knows me when I cry, when I laugh, when I struggle, when I mess up. Paul says, if I were to try those, my little ice castles would fall and be gone. But when I know Christ, I have gained life. Let me end, keeping you too long. Verse 10. I want to know Christ, goes back. And listen to this. Experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, whether I'm preaching the gospel, or whether I'm in jail, or whether I'm receiving 40 minus one lashes on my back, I will find my joy because my joy is in knowing Christ. And all I want is to experience that power that raised Jesus from the dead. Is there any more stronger power than the power that raised Jesus from the dead? He was dead and he was alive. And Paul says, that's what you get when you know Christ, because then you don't do it in your own power because you will fail. But if you do it in Christ's power, even when you sit in jail, you'll find your purpose and your joy. Jim Elliot was a missionary who died for his faith. And he wrote these words. And if you don't have them on the screen, then I'm in deep trouble, Grace. Profoundly true. He says, she is no fool who gives what he or she cannot keep to gain what he or she cannot lose. Person who gives what they cannot keep to gain what they cannot lose is not a fool. Do you get it? So I asked myself, Aubrey, what are the things that you are trying to keep that make you a fool? Because they're castles that are just going to be from ice melting in the sun. And then lose what is the most important. He or she who gives what they cannot keep to gain what they cannot lose is not a fool. And you and I, we have received him, Jesus, our Lord. His purpose for your life is to live Christ in this world the best you can. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for giving Jesus, just Jesus. And I pray that every week when we come together like this, that all we will see is Jesus. Because you are our life, Lord Jesus, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the resurrection and the life, and whoever lives and believes in you will live even though we have died, because we know the resurrection power that raised you from the dead, and we have risen. We will not die, Lord. In this world, yes, the old body will go, but we, when we live with you, we will live forever with you. For you have given us that gift. Thank you. Thank you that we can take all the skubala in our own lives and just throw it away so that we may gain more and more of you, Lord Jesus, in our lives. Help us to know you like you know us. Help us to live your purpose, things that will last every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.